Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to American Conservative Party Radio. I'm Tracy Coyle, one of your hosts.
And I'm Bill Hinman, your other host.
I think we're going to, we have to make it so that we actually, it's not, I'm not your host and you're my sidekick.
Yeah, right. That's like howdy doody and stuff, right?
Right. So,
yeah.
You know, we're co-hosts.
There you go.
I have the control board and can
yes,
do anything
you do.
That I want.
Yeah, that's right.
Doesn't mean that you're any less an important part of this show.
Yeah, I just don't have a control board.
Good evening, Bill. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Tracy. How are you?
I'm interested.
Yes.
In many of the goings-ons this past week.
Oh, and haven't there been a bunch of them?
There have been a bunch of them. However,
yeah.
Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to waste away a whole hour talking about it.
I know.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have some guests on tonight. The new executive committee for the American Conservative Party will be joining us in a little bit to talk about the plan.
And they're going to have some great news.
They're going to have some great news, some ideas about what we're going to be doing here in the future, and they'll be sharing that with us. But I want to actually jump into, is it a controversy? Can you say it's a controversy? Can you say someone being taken out to the woodshed? Somebody's been picking on somebody that's a lot bigger and smarter than they are?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I heard a comment, or actually read a comment today that said, oh, somebody got taken out to the woodshed, got their pants taken down, and got their backside birched.
And then
I thought
some.
That was pretty appropriate.
And then some.
Yeah, I guess.
For those of you that don't understand what's going on, our illustrious GOP RNC leader, Michael Steele, on Sunday was given the opportunity to defend, support, or otherwise throw under the bus, Rush Limbaugh. And
yeah.
Michael Steele could not prevent himself from finding the nearest steamroller and trying to throw Rush Limbaugh underneath it.
Wasn't that a pitiful performance?
Pitiful. I liked it. Pitiful performance.
Yeah.
Pitiful.
And there was a little alliteration there, too. Pitiful performance.
Pitiful performance. Michael Steele showed that he was a feckless little rhino, you know, somebody that would care more about what the political chattering classes are going to talk about rather than what he should have been doing, which is standing up for his principles, standing up for his party, standing up for a spokesman for the Conservative Party that doesn't want anything more than to be able to say his piece
exactly.
On any one given day.
Exactly. I mean, what was it that Rush said? Rush said, I want Obama's policies to fail. Now, really? Now, excuse me, I will take exception with Rush on this basis. It is not a question of whether Obama's policies will fail. That's a given.
Given, absolutely.
You cannot raise taxes. You cannot penalize the productive members of society
and print billions of dollars
and print trillions of dollars and expect that you are going to succeed, at least not in terms of the economy. You may very well succeed in terms of either a fascist society or a socialist society, but you will not succeed in turning the economy around. So, on that basis, I disagree with Rush. on the basis of what he actually said, I want his policies to fail, I absolutely and totally agree with him.
I agree with him, too.
Now,
Michael
why Steele, couldn't Michael Steele say that?
Because Michael Steele, and this is a problem that I've had with him since when he was running for Senate a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when the Macaca thing came up, and you know, he was just apologetic for something he didn't need to be apologizing for.
Exactly.
You know, that's my problem. Right now, today, the GOP leadership, right now, today, the talking heads of the conservative movement are apologizing for shit they don't need to be apologizing for.
Exactly. I mean, Bobby Jindal was on Larry King. And he had the absolute right response. And so King asks him, so you hope it doesn't hurt? And Jindal says, no. I hope that failed policies don't get adopted. I want my country to succeed. I want the economy to grow. I want the economy to grow again so people can afford their homes. But I don't want the Congress to adopt policies that would make the problem worse, not better. Perfect response.
Michael Steele, you know, the apparent head of the GOP at this point, you know, just wants, you know, to be the politically correct, oh, well, yes, that was very incendiary. Well, who was it incendiary to? Who was it incendiary? It was incendiary to the bunch of people who we should be fire. No, that shouldn't. Don't go there. Don't do that.
Don't get PC on me here.
No, you know, we need to be in a position where we don't need to apologize for being conservatives. We don't need to apologize for our principles. We don't need to apologize for the fact that this country is important, that this country's future is not in the hands of a empty suit who is so deep over his head, who is so out of his league, that anybody who thinks George Bush was a moron is going to look at Barack Obama sometime over the next year and go, okay, George Bush is a Rhodes Scholar compared to Barack Obama's kindergarten ways of running a government.
Exactly. Precisely.
Okay.
Barack Obama does not have a clue as to how this economy operates.
This is a question that I wrote down. Is Barack Obama governing?
No.
I started thinking about that. He's been president for, you know, about 6 weeks or so, and I'm thinking, has he shown any governance at all at this point?
Absolutely none. None. This,
well, you
this,
know,
this
on the
government,
job training's got to hit a point where you say, you know, you got to let him sink or swim.
This government right now is run by Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi. That is who this government is being run by.
Two incompetents, if ever I met any two.
Exactly.
Okay.
I mean, today, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi said to Barack Obama, in maybe not so many words, but said, you can't tell us not to put pork in this. Excuse me? He's the president, the head of that party, and they're telling him what he can and can't do?
Well,
I'm sorry, that's not governance.
Well, you know what? Frankly, here's my opinion about that. You know, anybody that believes that the president runs Congress...
Yeah, right.
when he gets to be president...
Yeah.
Is going to find out that Congress has got its own mindset.
Exactly.
You know, the idea of herding cats, you know, is much more functional than the idea of herding Congress. All right.
Hey, you may have coined a new term, hurting Congress.
Hurting Congress.
There you go.
All right. Now, we can go on to this for a very long time.
I know.
So frankly, you know, the stupidity that's being shown on display by the chattering classes and by the GOP at this particular point in the name of Michael Steele and all the moron moderates that voted for Barack Obama that are already beginning to apologize for that particular
Yes. Christopher Buckley, Broder, I mean, all of those people are saying, oh, my God, wait a minute. I didn't know he was going to do that.
Which kind of proves to the fact that they're as moronic as anybody else that voted for him because, duh,
yeah.
I knew it. You
exactly.
knew it.
Exactly. Yep.
A whole lot of us knew Barack Obama was going to be doing pretty much exactly what he is doing, and
yep.
he would be doing it just as well as he is doing. No, you know what? I actually thought he'd do better at this. But
you know, I had hoped that he would do better, but oh well.
The only thing is, you know what? Barack Obama, this is what I think Barack Obama should do once he leaves the presidency. I think he should go work for the IRS, because apparently he's the only one on the planet that can find Democrats that can't pay their taxes.
You know, he could do a tremendous help to our Treasury if he would just concentrate on that. Just keep nominating people, and by God, their tax problems will come up, and the money will flow into the Treasury.
Yeah, maybe that's how he.
There you go.
All right.
That's that $2 trillion he was looking for.
All right. Now, we've got on the line tonight the Executive Committee for the American Conservative Party.
All right.
Introduce the first member that's going to talk to us about part of the plan here, Jason Hale, who is also actually still the executive director of New Hampshire also, but a member of the EC. Jason, good evening.
Good evening. Hey, Tracy. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Jason. How are you tonight?
Not bad. Not bad in light of our current circumstances.
Yeah, exactly.
Not bad. So,
tell us what you get to step up and give us an idea of what the EC has got in mind for us.
Well, as you guys have already probably found out or researched yourself, I've assumed the position of marketing PR officer for the National Party, and I'll just share with you what we're up to as far as what I'm dealing with. As a part of phase one, quote unquote, I'll be starting an outreach program that I've tentatively called the Coalition Resource Network. And as a part of this program, I'll be working with other members of the PR and Marketing Committee on establishing connections with various organizations that pretty much share all or part of our principles. Now, I'm sure we all know that good constructive relationships with these institutions can only lend to the credibility of the ACP in the public view, the public point of view, and it's only going to contribute to our already strong foundation. Now, having said that, though,
support our principles. I am all for that.
Right, right, exactly. Having said that, though, I do believe that we should be careful on how we use this networking tool, though. We have to use it in such a way that our party is not overshadowed by relationships with any one particular organization. These relationships with these organizations will be a real asset when it comes to policy research, information gathering, and number crunching. And like I said before, I mean, I don't believe we need to agree on every issue. Only the ones where our coordination can strengthen our party's message.
Okay. Reasonable point of view.
Mm-hmm. So, and in addition to working on the national level, what I'll be doing over these next few weeks is setting up a list on our website and asking for our current and future members that are followers of certain organizations to, quote-unquote, sign up to stay in contact with those organizations on behalf of their ACP chapter and or committee. We only have so many chapters that are in formation right now.
That's a good idea. I like that idea.
I really personally understood the potential for a partnership when I received my yearly phone call to renew my Heritage Foundation membership. As at this time last year, obviously I wasn't involved with the ACP. But now that I am and deeply entrenched, the gentleman I spoke with wasn't the ordinary membership renewal processor, and you know they're typically not. We talked for around 20 minutes about some of the issues facing conservatism in general. Then I told him about the ACP, and he was actually very interested in hearing me out. After getting the gist of the ACP, he immediately asked me that we send information about our party to Heritage. This, to me personally, was an indicator that organizations like this are extremely interested, especially in times like these, in forming relationships with other political organizations that have common principles, like coalition building. I just thought in my head, I mean, geez, down the road, we could be giving speeches at some of their functions or providing policy research feedback, you name it. Just to give you an idea of some of the institutions that we're going to be reaching out to, institutions or organizations like American for Prosperity, the National Taxpayers Union, the American Conservative Union, the Ludwig von Mises Institute, especially on economic policy, the Cato Institute, obviously the Heritage Foundation, another particularly important organization that will be a real asset to our party is the State Policy Network.
I have a question about one particular group that you guys may or may not have had a conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
What about other grassroots conservative organizations? Not necessarily foundations or groups that are well established, but ones that are in the process of building up. I have in mind a particular group that contacted me in general, not to suggest any particular contact and anything, other than saying, we agree with your principles, and we've been out there, and we've got 20,000 members.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I mean, the list that I was talking about was just, just to give you an idea. But that's absolutely one of our targets because, I mean, if they've already got 20,000 members and they share, if they agree with our principles, then we can pretty much look for those like-minded people out there. And heck, even if those organizations aren't technically parties, then if we introduce ourselves to them, they might find their political party of the future.
Right. I like the idea. I think it's a good idea.
Yep.
I think it's something that we can absolutely, benefit from and offer at least to some of these organizations, an arm that is, grassroots oriented, politically oriented, wherein then themselves. I mean, the Heritage Foundation is not quote politically oriented, but they have a certain influence on those type of environments. Cool beans. That's what I
think. Well, I think the interesting thing is that. A lot of these organizations, while they might be able to fight the fight in the background, they're not their own political party.
Right.
It's in their best interest to go and seek out the people that have common principles or common positions on certain issues, and support them and seek support in return. For those common principles. So, I mean, I think there's a good relationship or a coalition, if you will, that we can build with these other small and large organizations. They're all just as important.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. I didn't want to interrupt. Did you have something else, Rick? No,
hello.
Sorry, Jason. Did you have something else?
No, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's the phase one situation. I mean, we're going to be getting much deeper entrenched than this as far as, rolling out phase one. This is just sort of step one of phase one. And I'm hoping to come on the show and actually reveal some more or share some more with you of what we're up to.
Cool beans. I think we can absolutely, one of the things, I really like Bill's voice, and I think, that we get along pretty well on the show. But, frankly, I'm tired of listening to me talk sometimes, so it's nice to have some other people show up.
You betcha.
I want to introduce to you, he should be sitting there all anxious and waiting and nervous, Rick Webb, who is executive director of the, I'm going to screw it up. It's North Carolina, right, Rick?
Well, close.
Ow!
Well, I ran through that, and
I was
expecting it. But I'll take North Carolina, too, if I have to.
Oh, that's cool. South Carolina. Good evening, Rick. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm actually in a pretty darn good mood today.
Yeah, yep. You sound like it. I'm glad to hear that.
Me too. Rick, what are you going to tell us about?
Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about tea parties.
Ooh, I love tea parties.
I hate
and
tea
state
parties.
Development. Well, so I guess since I've accepted the role of vice chairman with the party.
I'm sorry for kidding.
Yeah, well, for real. And then I ended up also wearing the hat of director of state development. I went, and actually took my daughters to the local tea party on Friday night. And figured it would be a good educational experience for them, and they might meet some people. And they wanted to meet Bob McLean, who's one of the local conservative radio hosts. So we got there and were amazed by the amount of people there. There were over 2,000 people in attendance.
Cool.
And I've since found out it was the largest tea party in the nation. Right here in my little neck of the woods.
Plenty of networking opportunities there.
Well, I probably got a chance to talk to about 50 people, and out of those 50, probably 20 of them listened to me. So,
cool.
That's more than I get.
Yeah, well, it was put on by the Young Republicans. And I've actually been in an email correspondence with the upstate chairman who was in charge of the event, and he's been asking questions about what we're doing and why we're doing it. But anyway, so, they had a bunch of guest speakers up there. The first one that got up was the chairman of one of the local county GOP parties. And he got up talking and, doing what Republicans do. He's basically a rhino. And we need change in the party. And if you want change in the party, you need to do this and so on and so forth.
I like Hopi changing.
Yeah, well, he's not talking about changing anything. He's just saying we need change. He got a smattering of applause, and he got off the stage. And he was immediately followed by Mr. Russ Castle, who is another of the local conservative radio personalities. He got up, thanked him. The guy's name is Rick Bertram, by the way. He thanked him for his speech and then proceeded to tear him a new one.
Ooh, all right.
I like it.
Laid into him on policy. He laid into him on his political ambitions. And said basically that he needed to be spending more time worrying about the direction of his party rather than worrying about whether he can get a state Senate seat. And then he finished off by saying that if the Republican Party can't get the job done, they'll find somebody else who can.
We're here.
And
hi, we're here.
Hello.
Hello.
No, we were just responding to your comment.
Oh, okay, I thought you dropped me or something.
No.
He got a wild applause, standing ovation. That kind of says something about the direction that everybody's leaning in. considering the fact that this is one of the most heavy Republican states in the country. And everybody was agreeing with the conservative over the Republican.
Yay!
So my girls finally got to meet Bob McLean, and they were all happy about that. And, you know, Bob's a great guy. I've met him a couple of times, and I've been on his show about four times now. And they just think Bob's the best thing in the world. They're little conservatives in the making. And so we're talking to James Gibney, who is another member of the Young Republicans. And he said, do you want to be Republican when you grow up? And my 9-year-old daughter says, I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative.
Yeah. Good shot. Yes.
We were talking about that earlier on, about the idea that, you know, there's when you meet Republicans, you know, they are really quick to say they're Republicans. But if you talk to a conservative, they're not so quick to suggest that they're Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really important that people pay attention to the idea that the Republican Party has done a significant amount of damage to itself in the conservative side.
And they have. And people are starting to wake up and see that. And they're seeing that the Republicans have put themselves in a position where they can't stop bad ideas. And, you know, it's proof in the pudding. My 9-year-old goes to school and says she's a conservative, not a Republican. And, you know, I'm very proud of that myself. But it just says something, you know. So afterwards, as an ending to the little story there, I jumped across the boat and went and dialed into another blog talk show who was requesting people come in and talk about their tea parties. The Squeaky Squirrel, I think is the name of it. It's based out of Minnesota. It's part of the Grizzly Groundwell group.
Okay.
And so while I was in their chat room waiting to be called onto the air, I talked to some people in Denver and Kansas City and Oklahoma City, then, you know, started asking me questions. What do you do? I mean, what Republican Party are you in? And I'm like, I'm not in a Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the American Conservative Party. So I've gotten a couple of emails since then. What exactly is the American Conservative Party, and what do you guys stand for? And I've answered, and haven't heard anything back, but that's only been since really yesterday. So I'm hopeful that I've done a little nationwide networking as a consequence of going to the local tea party.
Cool.
Which would be a great thing. Which leads me into state development. We are working on a new plan with the states now, and we're looking to start growing some states, but we want to grow states with active members. Anybody can basically log into a site and say, oh, I'm a member of this now. But are you really? I mean, are you a member just because you filled out a thing saying what your email is, or are you a member because you're active? So we've set some criteria for what's going to be a state chapter. Before you get to that, you're a state chapter in formation. And, set some criteria to go beyond that as an affiliate party from a state. Hopefully we'll get some interest in that as soon as we get it out there and published, part of our nice phase one deal here. Had a contact today from a gentleman in North Carolina that was very interested in what we've got going on and wanting to know about possible formation in North Carolina, so then he can call and
we've got an executive director in Oklahoma. Never mind, go ahead.
So then he can call and you can ask him if he's from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think that where we're going to get a lot of that is we're going to get it out of the younger generation, though, because most of the contact that I've had with interested informing so far has been from a younger standpoint. You know, the old guard Republicans are going to be Republicans until they die.
Right. I think that's probably the biggest problem we face at this point is that a great number of Republicans like what we stand for, agree with what we stand for, but they're just caught up in this idea that, you know, nothing else can survive except for the Republican Party. And one of the things that, you know, I'm a big fan of science fiction. And one of the most famous science fiction series of books was by Frank Herbert. It's called the Dune series. And one of the things in the Dune series is change is what brings life. And you can't stop change.
That's
and,
true.
Well,
that's
you know,
very
the
true.
Republican Party either has to change or it will die. And what I'm seeing right now is a whole lot of dying going on.
Yep. A lot of resistance to change there.
Yeah. They need to look back to 1850-something when they were not the Republican Party. They were the Whig Party.
Yep.
And the Whig Party died out, and that's where the Republicans came from. You know, they need to look back to when they were the grassroots movement, and it's not really, if you look at it contextually, been that long ago. So, you know, so that's my target, is to try to find some vigorous people to work on a national level, work on a state level, and work even in grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need people working in all three of those levels, even if you're only blogging in your local blog once a day or once a week. You know, as long as you mention us every once in a while, we're glad to have you.
Cool.
One of the things that I'm kind of hoping, and you know, for myself is, I want to be in a position where I can contribute. I mean, contributing on the show is great, and what I was doing with the EC was great. You know, I want to have a more, you know, hands-on, grassroots-level type activity. And, you know, that's where I think we're going to get the most bang for our buck.
Right, and you can do that right there in Wisconsin.
Yes, tomorrow I am hoping, seriously hoping, to attend an open forum they're having on a discussion about a regional transit authority. And one of the nice, wonderful goodies about this regional transit authority is that it's going to be an unelected taxing authority.
Oh, God.
People are really encouraged about the idea of building a train here in Madison, Wisconsin, that's going to carry, I want you to understand this, this is morning and evening and 24-hour period. They hope the train will carry 500 passengers a day.
Oh, boy.
That sounds lovely.
It's going to cost $12 billion to build it. So, as I suggest...
Is that part of Obama's stimulus package?
They're actually... One of the reasons it's gotten a breath of life recently is the fact that they can say now that Obama is going to give us a good portion of the money to build it.
Yeah, but it sounds like pork to me.
Yes, indeed.
The problem is not the building part. I mean, that's going to be expensive. It is, but the operational part.
Yep.
Somebody made the comment that based on the expectation of how many people are going to ride it and how much it's going to cost to operate it, we can afford to have a helicopter go to each person's house, pick them up, and drop them off at their place of work every single day and save money. Isn't that ridiculous?
It'd probably be more fun ride, too.
Yeah, it'd be a fun, nice fun ride that's going on there. Oh, my God.
Things like that are the absolute things that we're looking for to network, because people that come to those kind of things to protest are the people we want to talk to.
Yep.
Right. If you're sick and tired of the Republican Party and the fecklessness of what's going on, you know, the arrogance and stupidity, which is kind of an oxymoron.
Yeah, right.
you know, that's going on in our political class at this point. You got to have somewhere to go. And I've always suggested to people, if you're going to tell somebody that the ship is sinking, don't expect them to jump off just to get into the water. you know, you need to show them that there's something better to jump off to.
Yes.
And that's what we need to do, is we need to show them that the American Conservative Party is something that is better for them to jump to get off the sinking ship.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Did you have anything else, Rick?
No, that's all I have.
All right, now, we have somebody on the line, and I don't know who you are, but you are listening, and you are live here right now, and you've had your hand up. I've seen it. Hello, hello. Your area code is 713.
Yep, this is Charles Domino, incoming
Charlie.
Secretary of the Executive Committee.
Hey, Charlie, how are you tonight?
Doing real good, Bill. How are you, Bill? How's
I am
Tracy?
Well.
Tracy, how are you?
Good. And, you know, I didn't recognize your area code because you're calling not from a different area. You're calling from a different area code.
I'm calling from my landline. The last time I called in, I think I used my cell phone. And, you know, here in Houston, we have like three different
like
area
that.
Codes all mixed together.
Don't
so,
confuse me
sorry
like that. You understand I don't have, you know, a person in the background that I can say, who the heck is that?
Yep, yep, yep.
Bill?
Yes?
You could be doing, no, you can't do that. You don't have to.
No, I don't have a control panel.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
All right, well, you know, that's,
I didn't want to just
that's life and live, live radio. All right.
I didn't want to just break in and say, yoo-hoo, I'm here.
No.
Charlie! Welcome. What's going on your side of the EC?
Well, what I'm here to talk about tonight is the tools. And hopefully I can do a decent job of that, so maybe Butch will stop picking on me for being such a fraidy cat to go out and talk to people.
That doggone Butch anyway.
Well, as I said, I'm here to talk about the tools that we were using, and both Rick and Jason touched on that slightly. Now, and you have as well when you talked about the people being trying to get offline and get people together that can do things. I think that's kind of where you were going when you were talking about working there in Wisconsin.
Right.
As a party founded on the Internet, we have a rather unique challenge. Most of the people we've recruited are anywhere from barely computer literate to being outright computer geeks, but the only point of contact that most of them have is the Internet itself. Geographically, we're fairly dispersed. We're kind of like sprinkled a member here, a member there, and it's hard to get two, three, four members together in one place to really start doing activities, party activities. We can always say to each of these members, hey, go out and recruit more members, but, you know, not everybody is equipped to be a salesperson. I mean, like I said, you know, I was kind of being picked on for that last week, but now, I'm sorry?
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, well, conservatives need to become activists, and the Tea Parties are only the beginning. It's vital that we get volunteers out of their comfort zone and involved in building not just the party, but the foundation for a return to accountability in government. And one of the things I've been working on the last couple of weeks is the tools they need to do that. And I definitely want to give some thanks to the people who have been assisting me in that. Rick came up with a dynamite name for one of the projects to replace my rather lame efforts. Butch burned Midnight Oil with me, helping to prep a new website that will be premiering soon. And I just want to put a quick plug in for our new hosting company, Hosting Matters. They've been a terrific asset in getting multiple domains and servers up and running for us.
Excellent.
Yeah. All right. Now, we're still working on the final touches for these, so don't rush out to the Internet, everybody. You know, expect to find them right now. Tonight, I'm just kind of giving you a sneak peek. One of the things we're working on is an entirely new party website with a different content management system that's going to allow us to give much more support to the state chapters. Right now, if someone approaches us and says, hey, I want to start a new chapter in Wyoming, well, we start them out with a list of members in their state and hand them the keys to their website. And that's pretty much it. No pool of advice from those of us who've gone before starting chapters, no webmaster to customize their site, and so it becomes a net negative. They end up having to spend time working on the website instead of building the party. So using the new site, we're going to re-centralize the web hosting and the state party sites so that the national can easily administer one site and the chapter leaders will have access to it to add material that appears only in their own area for their own members. Items you know, that need to be shared among all states can be pushed out to all 50 chapters. At the national level, discussions on policy planks, philosophy, advertising, so on, whatever we need can be segregated so that you don't have a serious discussion on how the Republican Party is failing us, followed by somebody saying, hey, did you see this news article? Well, we'll have full control over the message appearing on the front page. So we don't have the troll of the week, like I think a couple of people we could name, dropping by to start arguments just for the sake of arguing. And,
hey, look, I think my arguments are worth talking about.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, you're making me laugh too hard, Tracy.
Well,
over time,
hey.
we're probably going to take the best posts of guest bloggers and members in our own forums and feature them on the front page of the site or in one of the sections, because we'll have it divided somewhat by subjects. And that's going to bring us to the next tool, discussions. We need a space where we can have a lot more freewheeling discussion among members, including social aspects, without having to worry we're cluttering up important information or obscuring it by, you know, junk. Well, so we're going to create a new set of forums. I was working on those just before coming online. Like the main site, it's going to offer areas and content specific to the state chapters. And, in fact, it's going to be one of the tools that will help us know when it's time to form a state chapter, because the people there will be in contact. When they start cohesively pulling together and doing things and planning things in those forums, we know, hey, we need to find one guy to be the leader. And that person's probably already going to be asking, hey, can I get, like, you know, an appointment or something so I can move this along? And that will help us. Now, we'll have some volunteer admins and moderators to help move this process along. And that's one of the jobs that we're going to be kind of listing, people to help us on the forums, to become moderators and admins. And those two, the site and the forums, that's the least exciting part of what we're coming up with. The next project is going to take a little bit of explaining, so I'm going to start with a question. Tracy, who are the movers and shakers in your hometown?
Unfortunately, for all of us considered, the movers and shakers in Madison are almost all Democrats.
Okay, but can you name every office holder in your county, including all the school board members, and tell me who held those offices 4 years ago and what office have they moved on to now, if any?
No.
Absolutely. I couldn't tell you anything like that for here in Harris County, Texas, either. Now, wouldn't it be nice if there was a website you could go to that would list all the office holders in your county and maybe tell you a little bit about them, their histories, what they've stood for, what they've said, what their actual performance is, what they've really been voting on, what organizations give them high marks and low marks. When you go out to vote for school board members, you know, if it's like here, it's every 4 years, they elect the local school board, and all you've got to go on is who's got the most signs up, because the local newspaper doesn't really cover. Ooh, what happened?
Nope, you're still here.
Okay, for some reason the thing came back and said I'm in the host queue. I was like,
No, you're still here.
Okay, cool. But that's what I'm talking about, is a very ambitious project to compile a nationwide wiki, probably even a cluster of interrelated wikis, detailing all the office holders all the way down from the national level, the President of the United States, to your local school board members. It's going to take probably years to assemble and hundreds, if not thousands, of volunteers, just like the Wikipedia. And there's enough people who are interested in politics who will want to work on this that I don't think we're going to have any shortage of volunteers. It's not going to be strictly a party project. We're going to manage it. We're going to keep a lid on the edits and not let campaigns do their own airbrushing of candidates and whatnot. But this tool by itself has the ability, I think, to radically change the dynamic of elections in the future.
Yeah, I think it would have, you know, something like that. I was involved in an election here locally, I was supporting a candidate for judge who has handled over 4,000 cases in the court system. Across the board, all kinds of cases, family, criminal, probate, guardianship, the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
And he was running against a woman that was being supported and encouraged by Russ Feingold, our senator, who he thought was a wonderful candidate, who has never handled a case in a court. Never. But she got that his endorsement, Russ Feingold's endorsement, and she ran two commercials 3 days before the election. Two commercials. She ran probably about 50 or 60 commercials altogether. And she ran away with the election just on that, the power of that alone. And people were just stunned when they saw the comparison that we had on the website for the candidate that I was supporting, you know, the comparison of who had spent more time in a courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that the newspapers completely ignored in their discussions. All the papers ran articles about the candidates, but none of them indicated the history. And something like that wiki would have had a serious impact.
Exactly.
And, you know,
it's open source opposition research.
Absolutely. I like that idea a whole lot.
I'll throw you another example out, an even bigger example. Locally here, Mayor Bill White was elected for the first time about 5 years ago as mayor of Houston on a platform that he was a businessman and he would run the city like a business. And we kept hearing about his business experience, his business experience. I searched and I searched and I searched. I could not find any information on exactly what his business was. Not until about 6 months ago did somebody finally put me onto a link. His business was that he was the number two official in the Department of Energy under Bill Clinton. After that, he became CEO of a real estate management company owned by a Lebanese politician and billionaire who basically has the deal with Hamas.
Oh,
so they say,
man,
you know, he has ties to Hamas. I'll give him a pass on that. If you're Lebanese, you deal with Hamas or they shoot you. Sometimes you deal with Hamas and they shoot you. But, you know, I would like to have known that before the election. But you didn't see anything in the newspaper. So, and it's not going to be limited to office holders. Let me throw you another story here just real quick, and then I'm going to get off and hand it over to whoever's next. Back during the election here in Houston, there was a lady running the Obama campaign. Right when they first opened the office, back when Hillary Clinton was considered the presumptive nominee, she got an interview on TV, and very prominently in her office, right behind her desk, was a large Che Guevara flag.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Caused a little bit of a stir, and then some interesting things came out about some property rights fights she'd had with her neighbor over wanting to build a 56-foot-tall meditation tower in the middle of a neighborhood of, like, 1920s-era houses and stuff that had kind of gentrified and rebuilt back up in value and whatnot. But a little bit out of the norm there. Wouldn't you like to know if this lady has a position somewhere in the Obama administration right now?
Yeah, I would.
I definitely
would. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if she was.
Absolutely. Probably in the Department of Labor enforcing the new card check. Or, or the regulations that we've got to be, you know, businesses have to be union now to get government contracts. So I'd like to close with this. A couple of decades ago, a book was written that was titled The Revolution Will Be Televised. A couple of years ago, there was a slightly tongue-in-cheek follow-up that was penned, The Revolution Will Be Blogged. I believe they're both wrong. The revolution will be wikied. The revolution will be content managed. And that's where we're going to get out on the leading edge and build our party.
I like it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, me too.
All right, guys. Well, y'all have a good night, and I'll hang out here if anybody needs me for anything, but I think it's time for somebody else to talk.
You done good, Charlie.
Butch.
Hey, what's up, guys?
welcome you on tonight. We have about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to give it over to the new chairman of the executive committee, Butch Porter.
Howdy, howdy. Well, I think these guys pretty much summed it up. I don't think I have a whole lot to add, but you know, usually when people say that, it's followed by
20 minutes of talking.
20 minutes of talking. So I will say that I don't think I got a chance to share with y'all my experience at CPAC. I actually went to CPAC roughly on a whim about 4 months ago. We were considering sponsoring a table, and just the timing wasn't right. And so, but I have a good loyal Republican friend of mine who does conservative websites for a living. Since he's a loyal Republican, he's not going to be doing ours. But he said, hey, you know, come on to CPAC with me. I don't want to go by myself, et cetera, et cetera. He was there trying to get business. And I went just as kind of an educational tool. And, you know, and what I discovered was the first day I didn't have anything to really give anybody. And so I just walked around the whole place, you know, just talking to people about their organization. They had, you know, American Civil Rights Union. They had, you know, the FRC, they had, you know, the National Taxpayers Union, they had, you know, the Libertarian Party was there. I mean, it's a whole plethora of people in the conservative, you know, in the conservative cause. And what I discovered is that I went to the second day with my friend, and this time I brought some cards with me, you know, American Conservative Party. And so I went back to some of the people that I had talked to, and most of what I did the first day is I talked, you know, let them tell me what their agenda was, and told them that tomorrow I'd tell them what I was doing because I didn't have anything to give them. So when I came back and I started talking to these folks and asking them questions, and I would give them a card and say, look, I'm starting a third party. I don't know if, you know, if that's something you'd be interested in or not. I'm sure you're a loyal Republican. Yeah, and every time I would say that, you know, they would look up at me with this evil sort of stare. It's like, and no, I'm not a loyal Republican. People would see that comment. Now, sometimes, like Tracy said earlier, that's just, that's just a way of not being very proud of your brand, right? And really claiming to be conservative, but there was a few of them that were like genuinely, no, I'm not. I'm not really. I'm frustrated with the Republican Party. I'm looking for an alternative. And a lot of the questions I would get would be about, you know, are you going to run somebody for president? Right. That's the first thing. Who's the candidate? Right. I had a few people ask that. Who's the candidate? And I'm like, well, hopefully there's more than one, but no, we're not running anybody for president. Not anytime real soon. And so the other thing they would ask about other parties, do you guys have anything to do with the Constitution Party or the Libertarian Party? And I go down that line. But the biggest thing they were impressed by was the fact that we were going to put issues first. I said, look, you know, I mean, for 2010, if you know, a lot of what we're going to be deciding is which Republicans are going to support. You know, because we're not going to have a candidate in every race. We're not going to have a candidate in but a few races, probably. But we're going to support the candidates that are with us on principle. You know, there may even be a few Democrats here and there. And let me tell you another thing.
Especially the Blue Dogs.
What's that?
Especially the Blue Dogs.
Blue Dogs, right? And let me tell you another thing. I ran into three or four Democrats at CPAC, which is really interesting. Sometimes they were working, you know, they had jobs for some of these organizations or they were kind of a one-issue conservative and liberal and everything else. And it was amazing how little loyalty they had to their party as well. I mean, some Democrats are very frustrated that the only alternative they have to them is the Republican Party because they feel like, and I talked to Tracy about this not too long ago, they feel like the Republican Party doesn't, They literally think that Republicans do not care about poor people, right? They don't care about their neighbor. They don't care about anybody. Now, 90% of the time, it's a clear lack of economic training. that lends someone to that conclusion. Nevertheless, it shows that two things are wrong. Number one, liberals have an exceeding lack of economic training. But two, it shows that Republicans do not know how to talk about what our responsibilities are and what our obligations are not. And let me say that again, because we do not have an obligation to give money to the government to help poor people. We have a responsibility to lend our help and our resources and our time and our efforts to causes that we choose to. And those sorts of things are never talked about the Republican Party. I mean, they're really not. I mean, some people...
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to suggest to you that the first and worst attempt by a major politician to address that issue was George Bush with the idea of compassionate conservatism.
Well, those two things are... The fact that you have to put the word compassion in front of conservatism, it just illustrates the point that...
Yep.
Correct, exactly.
I mean, that's just moronic, okay? I never liked that either. But the main thing that I learned is that if you sit and you have a conversation with someone about issues, that there is a large percentage of the conservative populace that is hungry for the type of movement that we're trying to propagate here. I mean, it is most definitely we're most definitely on the right track, and there's a large percentage of the population that would be willing to participate. One of the things that I want to, and I only have a few minutes left, so one of the things that I want to talk about is moving forward. You know, people have different skill sets, people have different abilities. But in the end, what we're looking for is some smart people willing to run for office, right? I mean, in the end, we want people who are willing to put it out there and run for office when they wouldn't have had the courage to run for office for the Republican Party because they didn't have the money, they didn't have the prestige, they didn't have the right, you know, the right relatives or whatever. There are, you know, there are a series of things that a citizen can do short of running for office that pretty much any citizen can do. And whether they're the one running or they're going to go find someone to run or whether they're going to simply support the party, there's a lot of things that can be done, and there's a lot of simple grassroots efforts that we can start doing. The first step I think all of our members should do is join their local taxpayer group. Just about every county, every major urban area, every state in the country has a taxpayer group. They should do it. They should join their taxpayer group. The reason is because there's a bunch of people in there who are just as pissed off as the Republican Party as we are. That's where people go when they're pissed off at the Republican Party. They go to the taxpayer group because the party's not doing it for them. So, you know, those local groups, you know, we're going to part of our initiative this next couple months is we're going to look for people to start meetup groups, you know, book clubs, anything that can get a group of conservatives together talking about conservatism. What do they want to call themselves, a chapter? I mean, I hope they do, and I hope they build it to the next level, get organized, start an affiliate party. But the main thing is to talk about conservative ideals and to do it in person and do it often. We're going to be pushing for that. So I enjoyed it.
We have just about a minute left there. I'm kind of giving you a little bit of a heads up there. Bush, I'm looking forward to, you know, the new EC and plan to you know, move us forward. I think it's great, the effort you guys are putting in at this point. I'm looking forward to seeing more of it, and I'm looking forward to having you guys back on to talk about more in detail.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it, too.
Thanks.
Bill, have a good night.
You too, Butch.
Bill?
Tracy?
You got 30 seconds to say... Well, it's nice talking to you tonight, Bill.
Hey, it was really great. I'm excited and enthused. And I think that the folks who are listening in need to take a look at us and say, yep, that's something that I can get behind.
Bill, have a good week. We'll talk
you
to
too.
You next week, American Conservative Party Radio. Good night, everybody.
Night.
We're good.
Good job.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Bill, as always.